When you read that section of Isaiah 43, he lays it out very clear. I am God and there is no other. I am the Savior. And it's wonderful. And while we're in Isaiah, I'd like you to turn to chapter 60. Chapter 60 of Isaiah, I'm going to look at verses 1 and 2. Isaiah 60, 1 and 2. If you take notes, I've entitled the message, The Spiritual Golden Age of Grace. The Spiritual Golden Age of Grace. Before we look at the passage, let's bow our heads and ask the Holy Spirit to enlighten us. Spirit of God, we come to this wonderful passage this morning in thanksgiving that we have it. We thank you, Lord, for all of Scripture, for we know that it's all inspired and it's good for everything that we need in our life. So we ask you now, before we even start to walk amongst us, pray you bring conviction where it's needed. You bring comfort where it's needed, strength, wisdom. Help us, Lord, to understand a little more about the wonderful grace that you poured into all of our lives. We thank you for it. And if there is one listening who doesn't know Christ as Savior, we pray that today this verse would stir their heart enough that you would call them, Lord, to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. We thank you and praise you and look forward to seeing your hand pass through our lives. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Isaiah 61 and 2, arise, shine. For your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. I thought of this. I was in a prayer the other day or earlier in the week. I was praying to God. And I was praying for our president, and in the middle of the prayer, or shortly before the end of it, the Holy Spirit put something that President Trump said. And the president said that America is entering the golden age or the golden era, a time when freedoms are coming back to people. A time when we don't have to be afraid of what we say. A time when common sense rules. A time when there's only two genders. A time when people who don't think that way are silent. And the moment after I thought about that in that prayer, the Holy Spirit put on my heart, but Brian, you've been living in the spiritual golden age of grace ever since you were saved. And it's true. That's what our message is about today. Our message means that we are living in, or have been living in, a spiritual golden age of grace. The term, by the way, golden age, refers to a time period or an era that's idyllic. It means there's peace, there's prosperity, there's happiness. And that's basically what the president was talking about. And that's something right now in America we can certainly use. After all we've been through over the last several years, we can use peace, prosperity, and transparency as well. Now, I'm not here this morning to talk to you about politics. I'm here to tell God's people that you've already entered that spiritual golden age. And I don't know if you know it or not, but I'm here to tell you this morning that you have. And it all began, the spiritual golden age began at Calvary. Jesus came, he gave the message that he was the light. He gave the message that he was the salvific sacrifice. John the Baptist saw him walking, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And the very moment Jesus Christ was persecuted, the very moment that they brought him to Pilate, and after they tortured him, when they brought him to Calvary. And when he laid down on that cross and they took those nails and they put them into his hands and feet, the golden age was dawning on Christendom. And then when he hung there during the last 3 hours of his life, and God the Father took your sins and my sins and sins from every believer from every generation and laid them upon his back. When he did that, the golden age had dawned. And the very instant he said, "It is finished," those words brought on the golden age, the golden spiritual age of grace, because the sacrifice was slain. And then 3 days later, when he resurrected, it was the proclamation that any who call upon him will be saved. John wrote it this way: "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." That was the beginning. His resurrection was the beginning of the spiritual golden age for every single believer. The instant you and I, and it's happened ever since Christ resurrected, but it today, the very moment you and I were called into God's kingdom, the very moment he lowered our hostility and we saw our sin against him, and we knew we were sinners in need of that Savior, the very moment that happened, the beginning of the golden age started in your life. And here's how it happened. Colossians, Paul tells us in Colossians 13 and 14, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of his sin. Every single person comes into this world a sinner, born with a sin nature. And as soon as they're old enough to understand sin, they sin. But when you're saved, once God called you into his kingdom, you're transferred. It's a spiritual transfer from the darkness of this world into the light. The glorious spiritual golden age of light in Jesus Christ. That's a transfer. And everything changes. The beauty of this golden age, the beauty of what we have in Christ, can never be reversed. Listen, Trump's in. He's doing all these things. And let's say for the sake of a conversation, it lasts for 4 years. Let's say for a sake that the vice president goes on for 8 more years. There's 12 years. Sooner or later, the golden age is going to fall until somebody picks it up again. But as Christians, your golden age is never going to change, because Jesus Christ never changes. Because you are in him and he is in you, you will always be in the state of a spiritual golden age. What does that mean? That means that my life is easier. That means that I have known the truth and that truth has set me free. That means that I no longer have to be bound to sin and evil. It means that I'm living for Christ and that he's empowering me every single day to do the things in my life that please him, and in the process please me, but first him, and then others, and then me. It never ends. How do we know that's true? Because Jesus himself tells us that in John 10:28. He says, "I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." And in the next verse, verse 29, he says, "Nobody's in my Father's greater than I. No one's going to take us out of his hand." It's eternal. Once you are saved, beloved, once you have come to know the spiritual age of grace, once you have come to know that, from that point on, it never will change. And the only thing that does change is you and I and how we live in that spiritual age of grace. The golden age we experience here, by the way, is just a taste. This is just a foreshadowing of what it's going to be like in eternity. The golden age in eternity is found in Psalm 16:11. The promise is, you will show me the path of life in your presence. You will show me the path of life in your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. It never ends. So here's the thing. This is almost like a dress rehearsal. So if we choose to have the right attitude when we face every day of our life, if we choose to do that, then we're living in that age, that golden age of grace. But if for some reason our attitude isn't what it should be, although the golden age of grace is there, we're just not taking advantage of it. But the very moment that you change that attitude, you're right back in the golden age of grace and you're feeling every moment of it. Now, with that in mind, let's take a look at our text. First of all, a little backdrop. Israel, when this was written, Israel was being held in captivity by Babylon. It was their second captivity. And God was about to free them. So Isaiah prophesies in our text, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you and his glory will be seen upon you." I want to look at the term, arise and shine, for your light has come. Now, what Isaiah is doing is he's announcing that the long night of nearly 70 years of captivity by the Babylonians was coming to an end. They were going to be going home. And he used the Persian king Cyrus. He used that to lead them back to the promised land from where they were taken. The text, "Arise, shine, for your light has come," is a type. It's a type of our salvation. A type is something that we see in the Old Testament that foreshadows or corresponds to something that's going to happen in the New Testament. And in this, he's saying that their salvation was that they were going home. Their sins were, they'd been punished for their sins and they were going home. And the same applies to us in our salvation. Before we were called out of the darkness, we were all held in captivity. All of us were. We were living in a dark world and we were held and didn't even know it. We were held captive to sin, were we not? Proverbs 5:22, the iniquities of the wicked ensnare him and he is held fast in the cords of his sin. I didn't know I was a sinner. I know religious people told me I was, but I didn't believe them. I wasn't a sinner. I felt chained to anything. I was also the captive to Satan. We all are. 2 Timothy 2:26, speaking of the lost and how to talk to them, he says that they don't argue with them, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him by his will. Before you're saved, you belong to him. He is the spiritual father of all the lost. John 8:44. Jesus told those that said they believe in him, but they didn't. You are of your father, the devil, and it is his will you want to do. And we were captive before Christ. We were captive to the law, to the penalty of the law. Galatians 3:23. Before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming of faith would be revealed. Did you feel like you were, metaphorically speaking, did you feel like you were being held captive? Did you feel like the devil was your father? Maybe sometimes when you did a few things you probably shouldn't do, but generally speaking, you didn't feel that. I mean, if we're anesthetized to sin, that's one of the attributes of sin. What is it? Some ticks do that before they bite you. They scratch your skin and they put an anesthetic quality, some chemical in there, so that when they bore into your skin, you don't feel it. That's what sin does. It anesthetizes you to itself. It makes itself invisible so you don't feel it. And you don't even know it. I never knew I was in chains until I got out of them. I never knew that I was a son of Satan until I realized that I was a child of God. You have to have a contrast, otherwise you're blinded by one sight. You have nothing to contrast. A good example, when I was a taxidermist, somebody would come in with a fish this big. It was a trophy, 14 inches, a trophy. Mounted up, biggest one he ever caught in 20 years. Mounted up, put it on the wall. 6 months later, he comes in, and I got a wall with other fish on it. And right next to his rainbow trout is a sea run brown. And the sea run brown is like almost 30 inches. And he said, this one person, I never forgot it. He said, because he was such a sport, he said, I mounted a bait fish. So the point I'm trying to make by telling you that is you can't see something until you contrast it to something else. You can't see that you're living in the age of the golden age of grace until you've seen where you were living, that all the darkness that you were living in. You can't understand the two. You can't judge between the two until you're there. And we're anesthetized. We're anesthetized to who we were before. But we're not now. Which brings me to a question. For those of you who like to look back at negative things, looking back at good things and things about Christ and what Christ has done, looking back at how you've grown in Christ, those positive things are fine. But for those that like to look back and see that, what they did, what they didn't do, what they should have done, the shame, the guilt, whatever it is, those of you that do that, what are you contrasting that to today? Or are you? Or are you just looking back doing a pity party? That's why the Bible says, don't look back. It's a sin. Jesus said, anyone who picks up the cross or the plow, I forget which one it is, whatever one it was, and looks back, isn't worthy to be a disciple. You can't do that. There's nothing there. You have nothing to contrast negativity to in the new and in the golden age of grace. You have nothing to contrast it to because everything is good. And all you're doing when you look back and all you're doing when you're living in the past with all the fear, perhaps hate, jealousy, anger, whatever it is, every time you do that, all it does is it wears away at you a little bit at a time. And sooner or later, God is going to pull you out of it because you don't belong there. That's what he delivered you from. You're going back on vacation into darkness is basically what it boils down to. About the length? Israel was in captivity, I think, 68 years. In Babylon. I understand what that is. In other words, you're living in a foreign country. You're eating foreign foods. You're learning a foreign language. You can't speak. There's no translators there to speak of unless you're in with the royalty. And you're going to live like that for 68 years. You're going to take everything. Only the thing you're bringing with you is what you have on your back. And they're going to put you in a place. And here's where you're going to live for 68 years. Make a living with it. And some people, their time in captivity is longer. The repentant thief on the cross, he was in captivity all of his life except for the last 3 hours of it. And 3 hours before he died, the light of Christ removed the chains that held him captive. He understood. When he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. At that point, he knew Jesus Christ was God. He addressed him as God. And Jesus said, I tell you today, you'll be with me in paradise. And when he said, Lord, those chains were broken. But for all the years he lived, for all the things that he did, all the darkness that was in his heart and in his life, all of it, He spent his whole life in it. About the Apostle Paul. Now, I looked up online and they say that Paul was somewhere between 27 and 35 years old when he met the Lord. He was in captivity to the law for 25, 27 or to 35 years before he literally saw the light. You find that in Acts 9, 18, and 14. Imagine that. So here's a man who was very religious. Here was a man that believed in God as much as any other man, maybe more. But he was living in chains. He was chained to the law. He couldn't fulfill the law. Nobody can fulfill the law. And what does the Bible say? If you break one of the laws, you've broke them all. But he was struggling within, and he didn't even know it until he was on his way to Damascus. And the light came, and he said, "Lord, what shall I do?" And in that moment, he said, "Lord," just like the repentant thief. In that moment that he did that, the chains were broken. He realized who God was in comparison to his sin. And the same thing applies to us. Isn't that what happened to you? There came a point in time when you realized that you were a sinner, that you had sinned against God, and you realized that the life you were living wasn't the right life. It was wrong, and you couldn't figure out why, because you lived it so long. It worked out for me. But that one time came when you were called, and those chains came off, and you saw it as it really was. It was all dark, because now you saw the light. No different, absolutely no different than Paul. The only exception is Paul had something, Lou, something like scales on his eyes. It was a literal thing. And I think, I don't know this, I've put my Bible over here. I think he did that. God wrote it that way to show us just how powerful, just how blind we really are to the truth, and how that blindness has to be completely repealed. Taken off like scales, something like scales, removed before you see that truth, and that truth sets you free. It happened to Paul. It happened to the repentant thief. It happened to you. I was held personally captive to sin, self, and Satan, the three S's, sin, self, and Satan for 49 years before I saw the light. That's how long I was in captivity. All of God's children are held in captivity because of sin, and it's only when God calls us out of that sin, out of that darkness, out of that lifestyle, out of that kingdom of I, only then are we in the golden age of spiritual grace. And when you receive Christ, your captivity was over. And the spiritual golden age of grace began in your life at that moment. Let's look at the next section. Here Isaiah declares, "And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you." That means having God's favor and being in his presence. Do you do that? Do you really feel God's favor in your life and feel the presence of him? In the New Testament, it means you're born again. You've been made spiritually alive in Christ. Here's what it means in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Paul says, "If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things have passed away." He says, "Behold," he uses the word "behold." All the old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new, have become new. That's the chains; they're gone. New is the key working word there. It means God's favor and strength is actively working in our lives. We talked about this morning in a Bible study. Ezekiel 36, 26, and 27 says, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them." That's power. Brothers and sisters, that's the power of God imputed to you. And it says in, I'll give you a new heart, a new spirit. New heart took the dead heart out, the hard heart. We got a rock downstairs. It's a good example of that. And he gave you a pliable heart for Christ. The new spirit, he took out the old spirit, the spirit of self, the spirit of will, crucified it. And he gave you a new spirit, the Holy Spirit, all light. And I'll give you a heart of flesh. Then he says, I'll put my spirit within you. And here it comes. I will cause you to walk in my statutes and you will keep my judgments and do them. That's power. That is divine power in every one of his children to do, to keep his commandments, to keep his judgments, keep his word, and to obey him and submit to him. That's the power all of us have. And it also means that we have the storehouse, the blessings that are in a storehouse of heaven. When you become a new creature in Christ, when the chains fall off and you enter that age, that golden age of spiritual grace, when you enter it, heaven is opened up to you. Ephesians 1:3. And that it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all heavenly blessings. Are all blessings in heavenly places. What that means is that everything that's in heaven that you need is available to you. You have the power to go to God and ask for those blessings. You've got the power to use those blessings in your life. And you have the power to project those blessings into a dark world. You can show the world, yeah, my life is falling apart, but I have Christ, so I don't care. I have everything still. That's what it's about. It's about understanding the power that comes from the golden age, the golden spiritual age. It's about the power you have in Christ. It's about the freedom you have in Christ. It's about the eternal life you have in Christ. It's about all things working together for your good. There's not one thing that can bad that can happen to you if it's all going to work out for your good. That's big stuff. Before you're saved, you didn't know everything was going to work out for your good. You never believed that. If something happened, it was always Murphy's Law. And when's it going to happen again? It gets so bad sometimes you were afraid to say that. You were so superstitious. But it's true. We live in a spiritual golden age of grace. And all we have to do is take the power that God has imputed to us and put it in our life and let the world see it. In the last section of the text, Isaiah writes, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and deep darkness the people. You notice he makes a distinction. Darkness shall cover the earth, just the earth in general, and then deep darkness the people, and then the good news. But the Lord will arise over you and his glory will be seen upon you. That term, the darkness covering the earth, depicts the depraved nature and the spiritual blindness of all mankind, about the people rather. A key verse in the Bible, Ron, for that is 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4. Paul writes, if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, the lost. In their case, the God of this world, with a little g, Satan, has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. Blinded, that's what we talked about. And Mark 7:21-23, Jesus describes the darkness in man's heart, the depravity of man. He says, from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. He just a little laundry list there for you. All these evil things come from within and they defile a person. That's when he says that the darker minds of and the people's minds were darker than even the earth. Because the earth was cursed, because they had that in their heart. But to offset that darkness, He finishes their text with the promise, but the Lord will arise over you and his glory will be seen upon you. That means although the world and mankind are corrupt, that the elect, you and I, the God's people, will walk in this dark world, will walk in this dark world, and we have the power as we walk here to demonstrate God's glory to it. And isn't that what we're supposed to do? Doesn't it tell us in Matthew 5, 14 and 16? Doesn't it tell us that it's our duty to shine the light of the gospel into this dark world? Bless you. You are, Jesus says in Matthew 5, you are the light of the world. Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. That's our job. You were given the Shekinah glory in God through the indwelling Holy Spirit, so that you are, that your acts in this world that you live in, this dark world with loaded with dark people, that you shine out to them because you're different than them. There's not a physical light, but it's a spiritual light that goes out from each and every one of his children. Why? Because we don't use the Lord's name in vain and they see it. Because we don't steal, we don't lie and they see it. Because we don't commit adultery, they see it. All of those, when we get upset, when something is taken from us, if somebody takes our coat, we give them our hat. We turn the other cheek. That's light to a dark world because they can't do that. And the most wonderful thing about it is all of us have the power to do that stuff. It's wonderful. And how do we know we can do it? Because Philippians 4:13 tells us that we have the power to do anything. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. There's nothing in the world that you cannot do. That's what that verse is telling you. You have God inside of you. You have God. And Romans 8:31 says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Who will hold a charge against God's elect? You have God fighting for you. All of those things are true because you're living in the golden spiritual age right now of grace. Those are all things given to you. You're the light of the world. You see, the term the glory of the Lord is given, is risen upon you. You know what that is? That's a call to action. The glory of the Lord rests upon you, David, Clark, Tom, rest upon you. So what do you do? Do you just let the power idle here, like electricity held in a wire or a transformer? Or do you spark it out? When you live your life every day, you have zillions of opportunities to do that. You have the power. All you have to do is be willing to show it. Live it, taste it, eat it, let people see it. So it's a call to action. Why? We're to show the world the grace God has given us. That's how we glorify him, by showing the world his grace in us. How do we do that? We must let them see our trust in God. You got to let them see that you trust God, even when things look so dismal. We must let them see our love for God, that I'm not giving up my God. I'm living for my God. We must let them see our peace and our joy in God, the things that the love that we have for other people, the joy and the peace that we have in our hearts all the time. And we should have it all the time. We must let them see the biblical lifestyle we're living. That we don't do the things that the world does. We're different than them. And we must let them see our life commitment to Christ. Do you have a life commitment to Christ? Do you think you can have a part-time commitment with Christ? There is no part-time commitments. There's no partially saved people. You're either going to make a commitment or you're not. You're either saved or you're not. And since we're living in the spiritual golden age of grace, It's our duty and it's our calling to project everything I just said, all of these things, and demonstrate it to the world and to the lost for God's glory. That's what it's for. When you get to heaven, this will all be clear to you. Remember, somebody said, we'll be in heaven 5 minutes and we'll wonder why we lived our lives as Christians the way we did. Because we'll have a better understanding of the glory that we could have given God here because we had the power. And for whatever reason, we didn't. And if someone is listening right now, I ask you, what age are you living in? Are you living in the dark ages? Or are you living in the age, the golden age of glory, of the golden age of grace? Are you living under that? What grace do you have in darkness? There is none. If you're living there, you know what I'm talking about. You know what it's like every day to get up, no hope, no joy, absent, no God. It's just you and whatever you can do to get by the day and hopefully get into the next day. That's where we all were. You know, it's really easy to talk to people who were lost because we were all lost. We all know what that's like. And if you're listening to this, understand this. We know where you are. And we were in that same dark place as you are right now, but you don't have to be there. All that you have to do is see God and see yourself in relation to him as a sinner and just ask him, Lord, forgive me. Just forgive me for what I've done. I want to turn away from it. I want to repent of it. I want to move away from that life. I want to live in the spiritual golden age of grace. I don't want to live by luck, chance, or coincidence. I don't want to live with anger and hate and all those things that stick to me like Velcro. I don't want that. That's you. The Bible says, all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. In another place, those who seek shall find. If that's you, all you have to do is confess your sins to God, repent of them, and then ask Jesus Christ to save you. It's that simple. You don't have to do anything else. Just want to be forgiven. How tough is that? If you do that, then the Bible says, again, all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved, and you will be saved. He will put a calling on your life, and you will live in the spiritual golden age of grace. You will. But if you don't, the darkness you're in now only gets worse, because at the end of time, when the judgment comes, you'll be thrown into the lake of fire. You'll be thrown into outer darkness in another place. And it says where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. So the question I want you to go home with, if you don't want to make a decision right now, the question I want to ask you with, aren't you really weeping and gnashing your teeth enough now? Why would you want to do it for all eternity? Think about that and let the Holy Spirit move your heart to call upon Christ to save you. In closing, I want to ask you to pray for our president. I don't get involved with too much politics, but we have before us an opportune time. We have a modicum of common sense coming back to play. So pray for President Trump and then ask God to protect him and to allow him to usher in a golden age in America, in our country, and bring back the common sense and the moral fiber that's been missing for so long. And for my brothers and sisters in Christ, for God's people, I want you to go home and rejoicing, because you are already living in the spiritual golden age of grace. And best of all, that's never going to change. You will be in that state for all eternity. Pass that message on for everyone you love. Just tell them, I've been living in the golden age of spiritual grace for a long time, and it is sweet. Pass that message on to people you love. Let's pray.